Grammy-winning music icon Patti Austin is here to talk about Martin Luther King Day, the issues close to her heart, and her new CD entitled Sound Advice. Hi, Patti.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
Great. What does Martin Luther King Day mean to you?
When Martin Luther King was alive, I was very active politically. I was in high school at the time. I was truly a political activist. As a matter of fact, I happened to find a copy of my high school yearbook from when I graduated, and the last picture in the yearbook is a picture of me leading a peace march. So I was kind of all over that stuff, and by now I'm exhausted from the whole experience. It just represents a lot of pain and a lot of hard work and a lot of anguish because I lived it. So, you know, I lived the era of Martin Luther King and John Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy and Malcolm X and all of those people being shot. And to be totally honest, I don't think we ever really recovered from it. I think that might have been the beginning of our cultural, emotional demise. Because I also think in this country we never deal with trauma completely. We always kind of try to gloss over it. So it mostly represents a lot of sad memories for me.
Tell us about your performance that you're going to be doing on Martin Luther King Day.
I'm going to be with a bunch of very young, very talented kids, and I'm going to be doing a master class with them, which I'm very excited about because I love working with kids that love music. And I know we're going to be having a lot of fun, and the show is focused around them, and I'm just kind of there to lend an extra voice. But I really don't know specifically what material we're going to do yet because we're still working all of that fun stuff out.
What issues are you passionate about these days?
Pretty much everything, but I sadly believe the Aztecs are correct that we're out of here next year. And the way I see things going, it might be this year. We're in kind of rough shape. I guess I'm in the state of mind I'm in today because I spent the whole day yesterday doing a piece for MTV related to the first anniversary of the revived version of We Are the World, which I was one of the producers of. And so we spent the day just talking about that issue. And of course, you can't talk about that without just talking about the politics that are going on in the world. And I was with Quincy Jones and Lionel Richie, and Lionel was saying something that resonated so strongly with me that I also agree with and feel. And the way he put it was, you know, it bothers me that the world seems to be, and I'm just going to focus on the States at this point because it seems to be the States more than the rest of the world. And I fortunately get to travel around the world, so I get to see what the tone is everywhere. And politically and socially and culturally. And it seems that our country is asleep when it comes to things that need to be dealt with. And then we have an awakening when a tragedy happens, as we just had a few days ago with the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords. You know, everybody's awake for 2 or 3 days, and then Mel Gibson makes a disparaging remark to his girlfriend, and we all stampede over to find out what that was. And it's like there's no focus on the stuff that's really, 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 really important. And I was saying to Lionel that I think part of the reason that it's that way is that so many people are so overwhelmed. They're just looking for a distraction instead of really having a full-blown reaction. And I think people are exhausted. I think they're financially drained. I think they're spiritually drained. I think they're emotionally drained. And there's just work to be done in every single facet imaginable. It's kind of scary to me.
You mentioned that you were co-produced the We Are the World 2, which was a fundraiser for Haiti's earthquake last year. What do you think about the power of music?
Music is such a unifying force. It's such a healing balm. One of the things that you kept seeing in Haiti soon after the earthquake were these camps that were set up where people were out in the streets because they didn't want debris to fall on them when they had the next aftershock. And about a week after the earthquake had actually happened, the major earthquake had happened, people were gathering in the squares and in the towns, and they were making music. And it was like a healing balm for whatever they were trying to endure at that point. And I was just saying what a blessing it is to be granted the power and the gift to make music for other people and to try to create a sense of unity and to try to create sense of healing through music. It's just such a powerful medium. You know, the arts are a powerful medium in general, but I think music is very, very, very powerful. And when it's used for the right stuff, there's nothing else that beats it. It is the gift of the gods.
You live in California, where Prop 8 was found unconstitutional. What are your feelings about LGBT civil rights right now?
Well, I just wish people would worry more about where they're putting it than where everybody else feels they want to put it. And I wish they'd be putting a lot more emphasis on how they're treating themselves, because we got a lot of haters walking around. And it takes a lot of time to hate, and it takes a lot of time away from you dealing with your own issues. When you're worried about what somebody else's sexuality is, what somebody else's political proclivity is, instead of trying to figure out what yours is and trying to hone in on that and make that work. And taking the energy to hate on somebody else because of the way they want to live their life is foolish. Absolutely foolish. And sad. You know, because people need to be allowed to live and grow and be who they are. And if what they're doing is not affecting you, I don't understand the concern, or even the purpose behind the concern.
LGBT acute teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers. I know that, you know, you've seen over the last few months, numerous teens have taken their own lives after facing bullying incidents. Right. How can we turn this around and reach these kids?
Well, charity begins at home. You don't become a hater unless you're living in an environment that is cultivating hatred. The kid that's going around calling other kids names at school and beating on them and stomping on them, you can pretty much guarantee that somebody's beating on them and stomping on them when they go home every day. They're simply functioning in their comfort zone, which is one of the reasons that I work with domestic violence as much as I possibly can, because everything starts at home. And if you're in a violent environment, then that's how you act out when you hit the street. And if your dad is constantly talking about, pardon all of my profanity, but those niggers and those faggots and those kikes and those wetbacks and all the haters' terms that are used, then that becomes your dialogue. That becomes your conversation. That becomes how you function when you hit the street. And so parenting skills need to be elevated in our culture. Then we got to roll the tape back some more, and people have to really think about becoming parents in the first place. We live in a culture where we tell people as soon as they come out of the womb, as soon as they're able to procreate, we're inspiring them to make more, instead of saying, well, you know, when you get yourself right with the universe, then start bringing some other people on. I just did a thing in Boston and talked to a room full of beautiful young women who are living in a shelter, and they said, what best advice you can give us? I said, don't think you have to get married, and don't think you have to have children. It is not a requirement of life, because having children is a tremendous responsibility, and whatever hang-ups you've got emotionally and psychologically, you better believe you're going to pass them on. And that's what's happening. We have generations of people who were poorly parented, who are having children themselves, and they're rotten parents, and they're sending kids out into the world who don't understand anything but brutalizing everybody around them, because, like I said, when they get home, they're getting brutalized. And the only way to stop that is for people to really comprehend the responsibility of bringing children into the world. People talk about, well, you know, this person went on a rampage. Well, how did he get to a point where he needed to go on a rampage? What's going on in his home? How did he grow up? And how is he manifesting the way that he grew up when he goes out into the world?
Tell us about your new CD, Sound Advice.
The title is certainly describes the material. It is, in fact, hopefully all of the songs impart some kind of advice. And it's kind of a fun project to listen to. I'm very proud of it in retrospect, now that we've had an opportunity to live with it a little bit since it's been done. There's a lot of up stuff on it. We've kind of gone back to my pop R&B roots on this project, because I'd say the last 5 to 7 years, I've been immersed in the what I call classical jazz world, doing straight-ahead jazz material, which kind of started with my For Ella project and then continued with the Avant Gershwin, which finally won me a Grammy. And so as a result, I've really kind of focused on that genre for the last 5 to 7 years and did lots of symphony gigs and sitting in with Duke Ellington's band and Count Basie's band and a wonderful group from L.A. called the Big Fat Band. That's P-H-A-T. And while I was doing that, I was getting a lot of requests from my other fan base. You know, it's kind of like, we love the Ella stuff, and we love all that stuff, but could you do some more of that Baby Come to Me kind of stuff again? And how do you keep the music playing, and those kinds of songs. And so I kind of fought it for a while. I wasn't actually fighting it. I was just so booked up doing the other stuff that we decided to take a break from it and go back to that and kind of answer that request from the other fan base. So hopefully this project will make them very happy. And we threw in a couple of classical pop pieces like My Way and Vincent that are done in a very simple fashion with just piano vocals. But we've also got some rockin' stuff on there and some R&B, and I've done a little bit of writing on this particular album, which I haven't done for a long time. So it's kind of a fun, eclectic resurrection of my past musical history.
How can people get information about where you'll be performing and about the CD and such?
PattyAustin.com will tell you everything you wanted to know and things you really didn't want to know. And we've just updated the website, and we're trying to stay a little bit more on top of it. Every now and then it kind of slipped into the abyss as we get busy doing other things, but I think we're pretty current at this point, and that's always the best place to go.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through times like these?
I don't know if I can say it in public. I will do the cleaned up version. My mom reached a point in her evolution, in her personal evolution. She had a bad patch, and so she would say every morning, I will do the cleaned up version, what is the crap for today? And then she would go about the task of hacking through whatever that was. And so that's kind of my mantra for the 21st century. And it kind of circles back to what I was saying in the beginning. It's much easier to get up in the morning and whistle a happy tune in spite of what's going on around you. And I think it's really important to face the crap of the day and perhaps try to clear it away. You can't clear it away unless you acknowledge that it's there. So that's really kind of my mantra. Like, what's wrong? And for me, the next line implies how I'm going to deal with it and how I'm going to face it, and how I'm going to try to correct it. And then, at the end of the day, my parents used to say to me when I'd come home from school every day, and that sticks in the mind, and that kind of helps me get to sleep, and thankful for whatever I've managed to endure on that day, did you learn anything? So whatever it is that you figured out was wrong that you tried to deal with, did you learn anything from it? And that's kind of how I live every day of my life.